This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
This is the night he takes me through a tour of the Kosciuszko Street sewer.
It's Sunday night, and this is the place to be. This is the Taxi Dave Show on WOR 710 AM. I am Taxi Dave. We will have Gridlock Sam on with us a little later as our special guest, and we're going to talk about a lot of things with Gridlock Sam. You all know who he is. He writes in the Daily News every day. Most people don't know this fact about Gridlock Sam. He actually drove a taxi cab in New York City. But first, I want to vent about something. A few things. I went to a breakfast. For the first time, I went to the New York Athletic Club on Central Park South. And, of course, there's no parking on Central Park South. And I was running late, so I left my car, and they said, you want to valet it? I said, yeah, just valet it. You know, I had to go up to this meeting. And the meeting ended about an hour later, and I came downstairs to get my car. And it cost $60. $60 for 1 hour. What the hell's going on here? I can't afford that. Then to make matters worse, you drive across Central Park South, east, headed to the 59th Street Bridge. One light, two lights. Now, slick New Yorkers know you don't take 59th Street, you cut down to 58th Street. Which I did by the Plaza Hotel, and I took 58th Street. And when I crossed Fifth Avenue, there's one lane open. Not because of construction, because there are four higher vehicles in the right lane parked, four higher vehicles in the left lane parked, four higher vehicles double parked, one lane of traffic. This is New York City, folks. You can't have one lane of crosstown traffic on a major crosstown street. But if you think that's bad, I get to Third Avenue, and it's closed. 58th Street is closed. Absolutely closed for construction. So all the traffic goes up one block to 59th Street. Then you go across 59th Street. And 2nd Avenue is stopped. Why? Because all the traffic that was going to take the upper level of the 59th Street Bridge, which you get to from 58th Street, is now on 59th Street and clogging 2nd Avenue. What does 2nd Avenue have to do with it? Well, if you're coming into Manhattan over the 59th Street Bridge, you either take the upper level or the lower level, and they both lead you to 2nd Avenue. I get over into Queens. There is traffic on Van Dam Avenue, not moving, stopped traffic, all the way to the Long Island Expressway. And I turn on the Long Island Expressway to go eastbound, and there's traffic all the way to the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. I mean, I'm talking a good, it's got to be 5 miles of traffic to get into Manhattan, and the traffic is stopped at the 59th Street Bridge. Because some jerk decided to close 58th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. How do you do that on a weekday? You know, 58th Street, 59th Street, Bloomingdale's, Upper East Side, major transportation of cars and buses and trucks coming over and across the 59th Street Bridge in both directions. Did anyone ever hear of closing a street in the evening when there's no traffic? Hello? How about closing the streets and fixing them when there's no traffic? Is this a novel idea? Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihail@AOL.com. We'll take your calls live. This is a live radio show. And by the way, we are the number one radio show in this time slot in the tri-state area. And I'm not bragging, but whether they use Arbitron or Nielsen, we're still number one, so it's not a mistake. I mean, the station said, you know, we checked this three times. I guess they didn't believe it either. But we're number one. So you're in the right place because you get information here that you don't get anywhere else, folks. You really do. And I can't wait till we speak with Gridlock Sam, because he is filled with information, and hopefully he can stay on a little while with us. For all you Staten Island ferry riders, you'll be glad to know that there was an announcement. There will never be more than a 30-minute interval between ferries, whether it's at St. George or whether it's, whether the St. George terminal or whether it's in Manhattan at the Whitehall terminal. Even at 1:30 a.m. and 2 a.m., every half an hour, the mayor is committed, and Polly Trottenberg, the transportation commissioner, is committed to provide that service for Staten Islanders coming and going to and from Manhattan. I wanted to get that out of the way. We have a number of callers already. Let me just tell you something. There was supposed to be a march on Saturday across the Brooklyn Bridge by OHNA drivers. We got a lot of calls on it last week, if you were listening to the show. And the afternoon before the walk, I got a phone call that they postponed the walk because of the weather. There were 40-mile-an-hour winds, and it was raining, and NYPD was a little concerned that there would be a problem. I will announce on the show next week when the walk is, if the people from the Taxi Medallion Owner Driver Association will fill me in. I will fill you in, folks, just to let you know. But speaking about that, about meetings, I want you to know tomorrow at Melrose Credit Union on the third floor at noon, NYPD, this is pretty much, I guess you can call it historic, the traffic transit force of NYPD is coming to Melrose Credit Union to give a presentation on safety and discuss with taxi drivers the top 10 summonses that taxi drivers receive and why and how to prevent them. And then it's going to be open to a question and answer. So this is pretty cool. It's open to the first 50. We have commitments pretty much, but there are some open seats. So either call or come in and give it a shot tomorrow. It's noon. There'll be some lunch at Melrose Credit Union on the third floor. And by the way, the Taxi Dave Show is brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And I'm still curious why 58th Street was closed between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. It was driving me crazy. And I felt sorry for all the people coming into Manhattan. It definitely had to take hours just to get into Manhattan. Let me take two quick calls, and then we'll get to our guest. Charbel, you're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening. We do appreciate your time. Thanks for the great show you have. I do have a solution for the 50 cents to have to bail the MTA and the 30 cents for the improvement. Why the city, they don't charge people going on the ferry to Staten Island back and forth? That's number one. Number two, the fleet, why they don't stick with the drivers and owner operators? They should be together. We are yellow. We are taxi. We need to fight that war against Uber.
All right. So actually, you're saying that the Staten Island Ferry, the people who take the ferry should pay something and maybe the money go to the MTA since it's part of the mass transportation puzzle. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Now, when you ride the subway in the city, do you pay or you ride for free?
Well, it's subsidized heavily, but you do pay.
So that's the way it should be for Staten Island Ferry. There's no free lunch.
No such thing as a free lunch. Thank you so much for calling, Charbel, and appreciate you listening to the Taxi Dave Show. And don't forget to come tomorrow to Melrose with your friends.
Yes, sir. I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay, very good. You know what? We'll take some calls if Sam, Gridlock Sam, doesn't mind. But I'm going to introduce Sam. If you're on the phone, stay there. We'll work it into the show somehow. But Sam Schwartz is known as Gridlock Sam, and he's a leading transportation engineer in the United States. And he's the guy who coined the phrase gridlock, hence Gridlock Sam. He's a city boy, went to Brooklyn College, and then went to the University of Pennsylvania. And most people don't know this, but he was a New York City taxi driver. He also served as traffic commissioner from 1982 to 1986. And he was the first deputy commissioner and chief engineer from 1986 to 1990. He started Sam Schwartz Consulting in 1995. And now he has a staff of well over 100 people. He has offices in seven cities, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Tampa. He's all over the place. He designed a trolley system in Aruba. And he engineered the transportation plan for the Barclays Center. Also orchestrated construction activities around the World Trade Center site. You know he writes columns for the Daily News and Lower Manhattan's Downtown Express and the Queens Chronicle. And in the Yiddish news, he's reported as Gridlock Shmuel. He answers questions by mail. You could always write him, and he alerts readers about traffic and transit problems. He's a good fit for the Taxi Dave Show. Also does blogs. I'd like to introduce and thank Gridlock Sam. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Dave, always good to be here.
Okay. You heard me ranting, or maybe you didn't.
No, I did hear you, Dave. and that was awful. All I can think about, if I was traffic commissioner, I would be fuming if anybody started closing streets during the weekday, as you described. Nobody would get away with that. I used to lock up, construction workers if they did that, and they closed streets without permits. Even the state actually tried to arrest me once because I forced the state contractor to open the outer roadway of the Queensboro Bridge during the rush hour. So, what we really need is a traffic commissioner out there who's kicking a little butt.
And who drives in the city. It was logical.
Exactly. I mean, part of the problem is you don't have, it's no longer focused as it was during the Koch administration in which you had a real traffic department. Right now it's diffuse. The police have some responsibility. DOT has some responsibility. TLC has some, meaning nobody is responsible. Nobody's at the head of this.
That's terrible. How do you run New York City like that?
Yeah, it is. And you know, I know you were fuming in your car. It's worse to ride with me because I know exactly what's wrong when I see it. And smoke comes out of my ears, I believe.
Okay. Here's a cute email. May the Schwartz be with us. Okay,
we got that.
Thank you. Before we talk about New York City congestion and traffic and all that, I wanted to bring to the attention of all our listeners, you have a new book out.
Yes, that's right.
The Rise of Cities and the Fall of Cars, Street Smart.
That's right. It's out now at bookstores. You can get it on Amazon or Kindle, you know, whichever iPads, however you want it, you can get the book. And it's selling pretty well, and I've gotten very good reviews. And it really goes through the history of traffic in the United States and even a few other countries and where we are now, and sounds some warnings. There's some good news and there's some bad news out there. And then there's the big unknown. The cab drivers who are listening know that there's a lot of unknown, and they've seen a lot of it hit them of late with all the new what's called transportation network companies that are out on the street, and there are so many more. There are about 30 different operating right now in the United States, and I think every week there's a new venture capital group that's investing in another for-hire vehicle company.
Let me just go back to the book for a second. We had Congressman Rangel on before June's deadline.
on the highway trust fund running out of money. And in your book, you actually explained it, which was pretty good. The Federal Highway Act of 1956, right, which created the Highway Trust Fund.
Yeah, it was Dwight D. Eisenhower really pushed it through when he was a commander. First as a lieutenant, and he did a cross country jaunt to try to move military material cross country, and it took more than 2 months to do. And then when he was in Germany, post-World War II, he saw the Autobahn and said, we need something like that. He got elected president in 1952. And by 1956, we had the Interstate Defense Network Act, which provided 90% of the funding for highways throughout the United States. And the local governments, in the case of New York City, we only had to put up $4 million to get $100 million, because the state put up $6 million and the feds put up $90 million.
What's going on with that fund right now? I mean, they were bankrupt, basically, because they were taking money out for other things other than infrastructure.
Yeah, there's really no money left in the program. I mean, there's a short-term bill that just got passed in September, and that'll last 2 months, and we can't get Congress to pass a transportation bill. I think the last transportation bill was during the Bush administration. So all we've been doing is these stopgap measures. We don't have the funding, so the funding, some of it comes out of gas tax, some of it comes out of general revenue, but whatever comes out is way too little. And that's why you see our roads, our bridges, our transit systems are crumbling before our eyes. Every single day, there's a new transportation crisis. Today, it was the 4 and 5 trains that were out of service. A lot of the cab drivers rely on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. Let me tell you, that's the road I worry about the most, especially in the section under the Brooklyn Heights Promenade, what's called the BQE Triple Cantilever.
Sure. So, what's the problem there?
That goes we're sunk.
What's the problem over there?
Nobody's looked at it, Dave, in 60 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Around 2007, I was brought in by the state to take a look at that, and we estimated that we had about 10 years before we think we could start seeing some emergencies there. By 2009, the state just aborted all the work, and nobody has done any work since. And there are no plans. The city has said it's going to take a look at it, but we're running out of time. And if the triple cantilever, it's a concrete structure already. If you look up, you begin to see these screens that are catching the loose concrete. If big chunks start to fall, we're going to have to close down the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway and put all the trucks, cars, taxis on Furman Street in the streets in Brooklyn Heights and downtown Brooklyn. Not a pretty picture.
Unbelievable. Well, you found the problems with the Williamsburg Bridge and actually were brought in as an engineer and solved those problems, right?
Yeah, with the Williamsburg Bridge. I put together a panel of experts from around the country, from as far away as California, from Princeton, from Columbia University, and we solved the problems on the Williamsburg Bridge. These are not hard problems to solve, and you know what? If you do it right in the beginning, you don't spend a lot of money. The problem is that we wait until things are nearly falling apart, and then it costs a fortune. It's one of the reasons, Dave, that I've called for a dedicated funding source, and to achieve that by lowering the tolls on every one of the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority bridges by $5, the Throgs Neck, the Whitestone, the Verrazano, but replace that and restore the tolls that were on the East River bridges. They were all built with tolls, and coming south of 60th Street. Now, the taxis would be exempt from the tolls, but they would pay an extra charge on the drop and on a per mileage when they're south of 96th Street. And that way the cabs can operate and we can have better traffic flow and we can have a dedicated funding source. unlike the Bloomberg plan, in which all of it went to transit, I take a quarter of it and I put into roads and bridges. So we also are fixing our roads and bridges, and we've never had a dedicated funding source for roads and bridges on the East River bridges, not since 1911 when Mayor Gaynor, I was just a tyke at the time, removed the tolls from the East River bridges. You remember that well, Dave, right?
Oh, sure. Now, what you're talking about, reducing the tolls at some of the bridges now, or all of the bridges now, and reinstituting tolls on bridges like the Brooklyn Bridge, the 59th Street Bridge, etc. That's called Move New York. Is that the plan, the Move NY plan?
Yeah, movenewyork.org, and not a single toll booth would be constructed. In fact, what I would do is remove even the toll booths that you see at the Midtown Tunnel, at the Battery Tunnel and other places. Everything would be done electronically through apps or through other devices. And again, the yellow taxis would not pay. So, for example, if you use the Midtown Tunnel, go to and from Midtown to, say, LaGuardia Airport or Kennedy Airport, you wouldn't pay a toll at all.
That would certainly
help.
No
matter how many times.
You know, a lot of the garages are in Queens, and, you know, the drivers start their day and end their day sometimes by going over the East River. So that certainly is a big help financially. And,
yeah, exactly. So they wouldn't end up on Van Damme as you know, you suffered on Van Damme last week because they would take the Midtown Tunnel. It wouldn't cost them that extra toll to get to and from Queens or Brooklyn. I used to drive out of Brooklyn, out of Bensonhurst. And so I would take the Midtown Tunnel would be best, but I would avoid the Midtown Tunnel because of the toll, and I'd go over the Brooklyn Bridge. And now you could take whatever is the most convenient bridge or tunnel because there'd be no difference in price for the yellows.
Let me get back to Street Smart, your book. Your brother apparently is responsible for you getting into traffic. Is that true?
Yeah, Dave.
Okay.
You know, the son of immigrants. My parents fled Poland between world wars. Luckily, they came here before World War II. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. And they were, you know, hardworking people. And when they fled, they were kids, and they didn't get an education here. My father had virtually no education. My mother, she was the most educated out of a very large family, and she had 1 year of high school. But she was determined that her kids would go to college. And
so your brother went to where?
I went to Brooklyn College, and I had two older brothers. One who went to Brooklyn College for a year and dropped out, and he got drafted.
And how did they suggest, how did you get involved with traffic? Just tell me.
Yeah. So I studied physics at Brooklyn College. I have a brother who has a PhD in physics. I thought I would become a physicist, and my brother told me, you know, I wouldn't be a very good physicist, and I wouldn't like it. And when he asked me, what do you like, I told him cities. And he said, well, you know, putting math and science together with cities, he told me I should study traffic. And so I went to graduate school. I went to University of Pennsylvania and studied transportation and became a transportation engineer. And that's how I got into the business, starting at the old traffic department 44 years ago, almost 45 years ago.
Now, I remember when the West Side Highway was an elevated structure over, I guess it's 12th Avenue, and it was all cobblestone at the time. In fact,
yep.
I remember seeing a live guy in a truck as an advertisement, but that's another story. And you realized something when they finally had to take the West Side Highway down. What was that?
Yeah. Well, the West Side Highway actually collapsed. It collapsed at Gansevoort, and those cobblestones were really dangerous on a slick night. You were lucky if you didn't slide back and forth and hit something, and we did have a lot of fatalities. But after the highway collapsed, and I was then a junior engineer with the traffic department, and I was asked to trace the traffic. Where did it go? And I found a good chunk of it was missing. People did other things. They took transit, or somehow we were surviving without any dramatic impacts after the first few weeks on any of the other avenues. And so a conclusion that I had is that if you build it, they will come, and if you tear it down, they won't. And so as chief engineer at the DOT in the late 1980s, I tore down the West Side Highway and started what became a boulevard, which is what we have today.
Very interesting. I hope you can stay with us for a little while. We have some callers, and we're speaking with Gridlock Sam, Sam Schwartz, the most world-renowned traffic engineer that you'll find anywhere. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Let's take one call, then we'll head to a commercial, and then we'll get back to some more with Gridlock Sam and some of your calls referring to that. Carolyn, you are next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, Taxi Dave, how you doing?
Okay.
I have a question for Gridlock Sam, since he's on. I read recently that the Department of Transportation is required to publish data on traffic trends and speeds, but that they stopped publishing this data after 2013. Any truth to that?
When I was back at DOT, and that goes back 25 years now, every year we reported on traffic speeds twice a year. We did that in the spring and we did it in the fall. Sometime around 2003, the city stopped even measuring it. And I don't know about a requirement, but that would be terrific. Maybe it is required by the city council or something, but we should get that. As a public, we should be able to see whether things are getting better or worse. I don't know if you saw the New York Post, and I shouldn't mention the Post because I write for the news, but today's Post had an interesting article, a sad article, about how slow ambulances are and how in Manhattan they're now 10% slower than they were last year. And, that might be due to the speed. Traffic speeds have gone down, but we really don't know, and the public deserves to know, just how well or how poorly we're doing with traffic speed. So, Carolyn, absolutely, I support the release of that data, and I think it should be made available with great frequency.
All right, Carolyn, thank you for calling in the Taxi Dave Show. When we come back, we'll take some more of your calls. We're on with Gridlock Sam. Everyone knows Gridlock Sam. I'm Taxi Dave. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. So stay tuned. And remember, one important thing, Gridlock Sam and I want to tell you, don't drink and drive. We'll be right back.
Tell your mama, babe, what you want. Tell your mama, babe, what you need. What you want, what you need, what you want. Anything I could do, anything I could do for you.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Davis back on WR 710. We're with Gridlock Sam. Just to let you know, transit ridership on the MTA subway ridership in July was $140 million. That's up over 1% from last July. Just to let you folks know, air traffic in June of this year, 11.1 million passengers flew in and out of the region's airports, an increase of almost 5% from last June. A lot of people flying. It seems that every month, every year, more and more flying passengers. Well, we're here with Gridlock Sam. Just to be fair to our callers, let's take our next caller in line. Satwinder, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, Mr. Dave, and thanks for having me here. And I was on hold for the last 26 minutes, but it's good. I know it was knowledgeable what you were telling about the Gridlock Sam. But I just want to inform you that maybe you already know that the rally we have to have yesterday, but we because of the severe weather, we postponed to October 12th, 2015 at 12 noon, and the meeting place is Tillery Street and Cadman Plaza West.
So Tillery Street and Cadman Plaza. Is October 12th Columbus Day?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so October 12th is now the march, and that's the march across the... Are you still going to march across the Brooklyn Bridge?
That's right, that's correct. The march across Brooklyn Bridge, yes, exactly.
Okay, and what is the association who is holding this march?
Taxi Medallion Owner Driver Association, you know, and we're going to meet you tomorrow, too, at Melrose also.
Oh, I'm glad you're coming to the NYPD Safe Driver Conference.
Yes, it's my pleasure, and also I'm requesting all of the New Yorkers, taxi drivers, brothers, sisters, families, like, you know, relatives, the neighbor, anybody who are affected because of this dilemma of the industry, please come join us at Tillery Street and Cadman Plaza intersection before we have at gathering, then we're going to walk across the bridge. And one last thing, if you want to, if you allow me that, if anybody need to any information, it's very easy. They can just text one number, 94033, and when it says, where you write, like, hello, hi, everything, you just type T-Moda, as a T-M-O-D-A. T as a tango, M as a mango, O as a owner, D as a Dave, A as an apple. So 94033. You can sign up with us, and we can give you all the information.
Listen, thank you very much, Satwinder. Really appreciate you filling us in on all that. Thanks for listening and calling and holding on to the Taxi Dave Show live Sunday nights. And I guess I should mention, we are broadcasting tonight from City Island in the Bronx. Sorry. Okay, before the commercial, we were at Don Coquille's. And we ran over, and now we're at the Lobster Box. So we are on City Island, running all over the place here, because City Island, most people don't know, it has a marina. You can actually see Manhattan from some of the restaurants. It's a diamond in the rough in the Bronx. Just to let you know, unemployment in New York City. New York City's unemployment rate was 5.4% in August, and that's down from 5.7%. Okay, in July. So the unemployment rate is going down in New York City. Exports don't look good. I'm going to pass by that because we are on with Gridlock Sam. Hey, Gridlock Sam, I was born on Nelson Avenue where the Cross Bronx Expressway is now. And you refer to the Cross Bronx Expressway as something that really, I guess, spearheaded a lot of the highway movement in this country.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bitter battle between Robert Moses and the people of the Bronx, and Moses had his route, and as a result, hundreds if not thousands of families were evicted, and you had to move elsewhere. And the Cross Bronx was one of the most complicated structures, because there were places you were going under railroads, above rivers, and it was a very tough construction, a long construction. But what it did in the New York area in particular is it activated the anti-highway people. So by the time the interstate highway network was to be built through Manhattan, there was supposed to be an interstate highway going from the Midtown Tunnel to the Lincoln Tunnel, and going from the Williamsburg and Manhattan bridges to the Holland Tunnel, The activists were able to stop Robert Moses. So because of how painful it was with the Cross Bronx and with all the evictions, that was, we avoided to have that same type of thing in Manhattan. And as a result, those areas are doing very well. Soho, for example, is really the path of the Lower Manhattan Expressway. And 30th Street, just south of Penn Station, was the area that would have seen an elevated highway go across Manhattan. Both would have been elevated highways, and they would have put so many areas in shadows. And New York City is doing just fine without that. All that would have done was made it easier to drive through Manhattan, and that's not what we should be about. Manhattan should not be a pass-through for the rest of the country.
We get a lot of complaints. Carolyn called about statistics, about traffic and traffic speeds you referred to. We have a lot of complaints about traffic never being as bad. The average daily number of fares a taxi driver can handle is down about 20%. Some people say it's the additional TNC vehicles, or I should say additional app vehicles that are in Manhattan and operating with a lack of enforcement. Some people say it's a combination of bike lanes on the left side of an avenue and bus lanes only on the right side of an avenue. Some say it's pedestrian malls. Well, what's your take on it personally, Sam? Do you mind sharing with us?
Sure. First of all, I agree with you. You know, people have always said traffic is the worst that's ever been. This is the first time I'm saying it. And the little bit of data that the city has released does show, in fact, traffic speeds have dropped just in the past couple of years. You know, the bike lanes, they were introduced over a number of years, and while it's congested some areas, that hasn't been the single factor that has resulted in the sudden drop that we're seeing now. The only thing that's dramatically changed in the last couple of years are the transportation network companies, the Ubers, Lyfts, and others. And I think that the city was right in saying, let's study this and let's slow down the pace or the growth until we can fully understand it. Of course, that didn't happen. The mayor backed down and is doing a four-month study. I'm not sure what they'll be able to tell in a very short period of time. Even Uber has said that that's too short a time to do a study. But when I was first assessing in 1982, and I was traffic commissioner, the introduction of all the black cars into the stream. If you recall, prior to that, the concept of what we call a black car today was a limousine, and it was for the rich. And it wasn't for, let's say, the upper middle class and the business class to use. So Fugazi had this idea, Bill Fugazi, in 1982, to unleash 6,000 black cars. So I studied the impact, and I found that it just the vehicles that stay in motion, taxi cabs, Ubers and others, the for-hire vehicles, those vehicles have a much bigger impact on traffic than, say, the car that comes in. And we saw that. You could see that any day. If you take a look at Park Avenue or you were riding on 3rd Avenue, where you'll see black car, for-hire vehicle, taxi cab, and they're occupying a huge amount of space. So the introduction of more medallions, which is not something that I supported because it meant less for, it made traffic slower for all the existing medallion owners, medallion drivers. The same thing, we've got to be cautious with other forms of transportation that are coming at us fast and furious. And we were caught flat-footed. In fact, I would call on the city right now to take a look at what people are planning, Google and others, with autonomous vehicles. Soon you're going to have autonomous vehicles riding around our cities, picking people up, and in my estimation, making traffic even worse, to the point that you know, you can't make that many trips as a cab driver. When I was driving, I used to do 30 trips a shift.
Right.
Now I was talking to some cab drivers who were doing 21 to 23 a shift. That's pretty sad.
And that's not because of lack of work. Whenever I'm in Manhattan, people are hailing taxis.
Yeah.
And taxis, too.
They're going much more slowly than they did in the past.
All right, let's take Richard. You're our next caller.
Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Thanks for your work, Taxi Dave. Speaking of number of trips per hour, could you please comment on the unethical practices of the TLC at the airports in terms of entrapment and unethical behavior, and how in terms of, like, drivers are coming? From upstate New York, and we have legitimate customers on return that we pick up going back to, like, Westchester Airport. However, the TLC, they would try to interject and say, oh, I'm your customer from Westchester or New Rochelle. Could you please comment on what are the limitations?
What have you experienced, Richard, regarding that? I want to know.
A TLC officer lies to me and says he's going back to my destination of a customer that I'm actually looking for, and I'm asking for, you know, recordings of the conversations. First he says he has one, then he says he don't.
And, pick up customer passenger A, and an undercover TLC officer says he's customer A, and you say, are you going back to Scarsdale? And he says yes, and gets in your car? Is that what's actually happening?
Yes, well, also, I'm dropping off someone there, too. It's a drop and pick, what we call. I'm dropping off a customer. I have a special program, where I work, where, you know, I'm assigned a massive amount of business. You know, instead of deadhead, like, you know, your associate there was talking about, I think a lot of your taxi drivers are, you know, they're driving deadhead. So, you know, creating double traffic. So my point is, you know, why is a TLC officer allowed to actually interfere in my interstate commerce, where he's knocking on my window and he's lying to me, saying he's going somewhere he's not, and he's presenting himself as somebody who he's not? He's actually interfering on my finance transaction, where I'm doing a credit card, where I'm making a reservation on the customer coming back. He's interfering in my business, you know, where he has no right to, and he's misrepresenting who the heck he is. And I'm there to pick up somebody on a return, and I'm looking for that person because if I shove them, they're going to take another taxi. You know, if I'm not looking for them, you know, I have to keep my eyes open. And, you know, the TLC basically saying, well, we don't care if you have business. We're going to lie to you and misrepresent, you know, what his purposes are. And basically, you know, impounds the car.
They impound the car. Then you must be aware of a ruling that occurred this week.
Okay. Well, how would you defend, how do you dismiss such fraudulent and entrapment?
Well, how do I dismiss it? You know, I think you said everything that had to be said, Richard, regarding that. I wish that the enforcement powers that be would enforce the illegal pickups, the true illegal pickups at the airport. That same agency has been given films of multiple asks. Are you with Uber? Yes. Are you working? No. Oh, can you take me here? Yes. Here's the price. Get in. And, you know, that's been handed over to the Taxi and Limousine Commission from what I've been told. Okay. And I hear from yellow taxi drivers all the time. In fact, on this show many times before, how the yellow cabs have one line and a lot of the app companies have more than one line, and it's kind of a free-for-all. And then you find out that many of them don't have actual fares. They're just looking to hustle. And you, as a hardworking person, you know, with a company or for a company from Westchester County, you have a legal fare, and rather than enforcement going after the bad guys, they're entrapping the good guys, is what you're saying, right?
Oh, it's so bad. We'll be at our office in Westchester on a really busy night, and the TLC will call up trying to set up an entrapment procedure in the Bronx somewhere, Bronx drop-off. I don't want to hear from them. They're interfering in my interstate commerce, and on a busy night, they're ringing my phone, harassing my dispatcher and my drivers to try entrapment. You know,
well,
I'm not
you're talking about interstate commerce and entrapment. I'm not an attorney, but it sounds very legal to me, and maybe I shouldn't comment anymore on this. I don't want to be brought in on something that I don't have first-hand knowledge of, but I appreciate you sharing your first-hand knowledge here, okay, on the Taxi Dave Show. As you know, we have a lot of listeners. We're the number one show in this time slot, and people do need to be aware of what's really happening out there. I'm sorry that you're being harassed when illegal vehicles are not being harassed enough or at all. So thank you for calling into the Taxi Dave Show, Richard. Okay, let's take... we do have Gridlock Sam with us. Hey, Sam, what do you think about what that gentleman just said?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly why he's talking about interstate commerce, but, you know, setting up entrapment. I do witness exactly what you said. I fly a good deal. I arrive at the airports. I usually have something prearranged, or I'll take a taxi cab, and I get solicited all the time. Without fail, no matter what airport I come back.
Hear that, folks? And by the way, we made news here tonight because Gridlock Sam, for the first time publicly, actually said that traffic, in his opinion, is worse now than he's ever witnessed before. So I want to thank you for being that open on the Taxi Dave Show, Gridlock Sam.
You're quite welcome, and I've been driving a long, long time. The AAA is giving me my 50th year membership pin. That's how long I've been driving.
You're older than you look. Good-looking guy, too.
Yeah, thank you.
The economy is good. We talked about employment in New York City going down. Hotel occupancy. In July, the average hotel room rate was $266, which is unchanged from last year. And the hotel occupancy rate, 92.2% in July, and that's up from 90.8% from last July. So more people are staying in the hotels. As far as Broadway shows go, Broadway attendance was approximately 890,000 during the 4 weeks ending August 30th. That's down 1.2%. And revenues were about $95.6 million, also down 1.2% from last year. But people are flying. I'd say 900,000 in 4 weeks. That's pretty good. Hotel occupancy rates. There are fewer rooms available. People are coming in. And construction in New York City. Here are the stats you never get on any other show, folks. Only on the Taxi Dave Show. The number of building projects that started in New York City for the 12 months ending July 2015 was up 1.6%. And planned space for the projects, 87% higher than the same period in 2014. 3,430 residential building projects began construction. That's a 6.2% increase from the year before. And these construction starts contain 47,000 units, an increase of 81% from the year before. So there you have it, folks. Some stats that you're not going to hear on any other radio show. We're glad you're tuning in to the Taxi Dave Show, that's for sure. Let's take Tom O'Connor. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Great. How do we do, Dave?
Okay, young man.
I'd like to address this here to Mr. Sam Schwartz. I know he's an authority on traffic. Does he realize what's going on in the city of New York with Uber put on an additional 15,000 vehicles in Manhattan? And Uber, right, the Uber limousine, car service, whatever you want to call it, livery, they got 15,000 cars on the Manhattan streets. Now, how does the city of New York evaluate a situation like that to add an additional 15,000 cars? That's equal probably to passengers' cars of about another 30,000 or 40,000 regular cars. I'd like to get his opinion how such a situation even arise. How did politicians even come up with this bright idea?
We got the question. Stop so we can get an answer.
Okay, Tom. First of all, 15,000 Ubers would be greater than the total number of yellow cabs that there are, which is 13,000 and change. So, of course, the impact of that, we can all see the sea of yellow. If you go back just a few years ago, what Park Avenue was mostly yellows. Now you'll see mixed with yellows and blacks. I think the city was caught flat-footed. I think the mayor had the right approach when he said, let's put a slow-growth moratorium. He wasn't stopping Uber or any of the others. There's Lyft and there's Via and others. But he was saying, let's go to 1% growth while we really get a handle on this. And he got beat back. They've been very effective at isolating the mayor. They ran an incredible campaign showing the poor nurse and the poor elderly that couldn't get around without Uber and all the drivers that Uber's providing. And, you know, they really did a job on the mayor. I wish the mayor had stuck to his guns, but he didn't. And I know he's doing a study, and the study should be out, I think, in another month or two. And at that point, we'll see what the city policy will be. But I am pretty certain this is what's been contributing to the slowdown in traffic. And as I mentioned in today's New York Post, our emergency vehicles, our EMS ambulances, have gotten slower in every single borough, and no borough has it gotten hit worse than Manhattan, where we see most of the TNCs.
When we come back, we'll take some more of your questions. Also, if you own a 2013 to a 2016 ATS Cadillac, you're going to want to listen to this recall. Here's a quick email from Larry. I had my first fare to City Island on Friday. I've never been there before, ever. Hey, congratulations, Larry. Okay. The data that Uber has agreed to release to the city for congestion study, including time, distance, endpoint, which will be aggravated by hour and by taxi zone, approximate zip code, will not be released to the public. Sounds like they are not releasing all their data. And that won't be public. Whatever happened to trust but verify? That's from Barry. Thank you for that email, Barry. Here's a question. Turning from second lane when others from the first lane turning to a wider street or avenue when four or five traffic lanes are available, why is it called an improper turn and the driver being summoned? That's a good question, actually, before we go to a break. If you're making a wide turn onto a one-way avenue that has five lanes, why is it called a wide turn? Improper turn. Do we know, Sam?
You can only make the turn unless the lanes are designated from the lane closest to, you know, the right, far right, or the far left lane. Those are the only turning lanes unless it is designated. That's New York State law.
You know, I have to tell you, I break the law sometimes. When I was on Central Park South going west to 7th Avenue, there's that one light, you wait for the arrow, you have to stay on the left lane. And you could wait for that light a very long time, sometimes multiple lights. So I do make a wide right turn. And what I noticed is sometimes they only pull over yellow taxi drivers, which is interesting. Anyway, we'll be right back. We have a few minutes left of the show. We'll try to get some more calls with Gridlock Sam, who's written a new book, Street Smart. You got to check it out. You have to get it. What a great history of vehicles, roads in New York City and the United States, actually. It gives you the history, the nitty-gritty as to how we got there today. It's a roadmap to where we are today. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show. We'll be right back.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
I said I'm sitting here watching Matchbox holding my clothes. I said I'm sitting here wondering.
Taxi Dave Show is back. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Seven legislators from Albany, Syracuse, Rochester, including the Assembly Majority Leader, Joseph Morrell, sent Governor Cuomo a letter asking that he support a bill designed to make it easier to attract ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft by putting state regulations in place. Folks, the worst thing you can do is to have private cars allowed to pick up app calls, okay? It's the worst thing you can do. We have 80 years of regulation in New York City. Regulation works. Background checks work. Fingerprints work. Registering vehicles, insuring vehicles work. I mean, come on. You know, give me a break. You want to do it upstate? You want to use apps? Let the governmental bodies, the villages or the towns or the counties, regulate them, okay? And then everybody's going to be protected. Speaking of protection, we have a caller. Real quick, you got 30 seconds, Frank, on passenger safety?
Yes, right, Dave. Backseat safety. When people are getting out by the curb, there might be somebody sleeping on the traffic side. Make sure that person's paying attention so they don't open the door into traffic. Some people take a power nap in the cab, Dave, particularly when they drive nice like I do. And they look to rest up. And I had this young girl throw open my door on 6th Avenue and 21st Street and hit a cop car.
Unbelievable. Frank,
yeah,
thanks for holding on the phone and giving everybody that safety message. You're absolutely right. Get out on the curbside, folks. It only makes sense. That's why taxis pull over to the curb for you, not for you to get out in traffic. My condolences go out to the Aaron family on the death of Lou Aaron. I used to drive a taxi cab with him. A great guy. And what else could I say? I'm just so sorry. It's a loss to the taxi industry. And Sam Schwartz, Gridlock Sam, The Rise of Cities and the Fall of Cars. Street Smart. I'm sorry we couldn't get to the rest of the callers. Sam, where can they get your book?
It's at Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. It's at all the good bookstores around town.
I want to thank you personally for being on the Taxi Dave Show. I hope you'll come back sometime. Okay, there's so much to talk about. Everyone is interested in traffic, especially if they work in New York City. Thank you, all your listeners, all your callers. Thanks for making me number one. Okay, and thank you, Gridlock Sam, again. Gotta go. Hey, taxi, get me off of City Island. I gotta get back.